Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from Entrepreneur on Fire, and you are listening to Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Get ready to crush it with your marketing and ignite.
Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 20.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabienne Raphael.
Hi again, All-Star Team, and welcome to Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, I have a very special guest, Rich Brooks. Rich is the founder and president of Flight New Media, a web design and marketing firm. He is a nationally recognized speaker on entrepreneurship, digital marketing, and social media. Rich is a founder of the Agents of Change Digital Marketing Conference, an annual conference on search, social, and mobile marketing. He also runs the Marketing Agents podcast, where he interviews marketing experts from around the world on search, social, and mobile marketing. Rich, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
I told people a little bit about you, but maybe you want to take a few minutes to tell us more about what you do and about you.
Sure. Well, I have a lot of balls in the air right now. My day job is, as you mentioned, president of Flight New Media. We're a web design and internet marketing company. And so we help small businesses and nonprofits, and we also do some healthcare stuff in terms of building mobile-friendly websites on WordPress, and then also helping people with their search engine optimization, putting together social media campaigns, email marketing campaigns, and we also do a lot of social media training and consulting or even full outsourcing for our clients. So that's my day job. My other big thing is, like you, I am a podcaster. I have a podcast called The Marketing Agents, and I get to interview awesome people who are experts in search, social, and mobile marketing. And right now, the focus outside of my family is the fact that I put on an annual conference called the Agents of Change Digital Marketing Conference. I understand you might be in attendance, so that's awesome. And that's going to be on Friday, September 26th. It's a full-day conference in Portland, Maine, and online. So I always tell people, listen, if you've always wanted to come to Maine and you've never really found an excuse to, now's the time, because you can write the entire thing off as a business trip. And we've just got an amazing lineup. I'm sure we'll share the URL in the show notes, but it's at agentsconference.com. We've got Pat Flynn, Chris Ducker, John Lee Dumas, Stephanie Sammons, Greg Hickman, Nick Unsworth, Nathan Latka, a whole bunch of amazing people all on stage one day. No breakout sessions. It's a one-track thing. And if you can't make it to Maine, we're actually doing a digital live stream of the entire event, and those videos are going to be on demand too. So you definitely want to go and check that out. It's going to be an amazing day.
That's great. Now, Rich, if you have to summarize your entrepreneurial journey with one word, what would it be and why?
If I had to come up with just one word, I guess the word that I would use is adventure. And that is a word that I often hear. I often say to people when they say, "Hey, everything from I just got laid off to I just started a new company, or I'm thinking about starting a new company." I always tell people, "Good luck on that new adventure," because that's really what it is. I mean, I know that there's other stresses and concerns with all these kind of life-changing events, but what I like to think of it is it's a series of adventures. It may be an adventure of starting something. It might be an adventure of growing something, an adventure of hiring your first employee or firing your first client, whatever it may be. But if we look at it as an adventure, it becomes more exciting and fun and enjoyable. And at the end of the day, this should be more than just a grind.
So in this adventure, actually, I'm sure you faced some challenges like every entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So are there times that you did not take no as an answer, Rich?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that every day I get out of bed on some level, I refuse to take no as an answer. I've definitely had moments, especially in the early days of putting on conferences, where it just felt like everything was against us and I just refused to give up. I said, this has to go through, this has to work. And, I've been in business now for 17 years. it's not surprising that I've had a lot of ups and a lot of downs. Mm-hmm. And just the beginning of last year, we were having some financial problems in the company, and I was working with an outside firm and that specializes in this. And the guy said, I really don't see how you're going to make this work, and I think what you should do is consider closing down the business and focusing on this one aspect of it.
Wow.
And I was just like, I just don't agree. And this guy's a lot smarter than me when it comes to numbers. Mm-hmm. But I just said, no, that's not how I refuse to fail. And this is how I saw it. I saw it as a failure. I mean, the bottom line is I'd built this up. I'd taken my eye off the ball. I assumed everything was running smoothly without me, and it wasn't. And that's really what it came down to. So what I ended up doing is said, I refuse to let this happen, which is totally bullheaded, and I don't necessarily recommend that. There is a time to cut your losses, but I just said, forget it. I'm going to make this work. And I worked with my wife, who's my business partner, and I worked with my team, and I made some changes, and I hired a business coach, and I figured things out, and we got out of the red and into the black, and now we are experiencing good profitability. And that was a big thing. I just said, I'm not going to accept your judgment of how my company's going to do. I'm going to make that decision for myself.
Wow. So actually, that's funny because a little bit later in the interview, I was going to ask you if you had some point in your business where it was like stagnant but actually yours was failing and your strategy was just to get the expertise. And you said you got some coaching and you spoke a lot to your business partner and then you realized that you could make this happen and it did.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I've noticed, because I have a leg in two different worlds. One is the small business world. I run a small business. I have to, you know, keep the lights on. I have to get new clients. I have to generate enough business. I have to keep my people busy. That's one part of who I am. The other part of me is kind of in that internet marketing, social media consultant world, where I have a lot of friends like Pat Flynn and Amy Porterfield, who I look up to, who I think are doing amazing things. And when I look at that world, it's just it's a different type of world. And one of the things I noticed about the people who are very successful in that second world is that if they need help, they go to the experts. And that could be the most expensive expert, the most expensive class they can find, the best networking group, and they take it seriously and they ramp up and they just destroy the learning curve because they take it so seriously. And that's been the secret of their success. So I tried to take some of that. I was willing to work with an outside financial company. And despite the fact that I had that one disagreement with them, it was really helpful. We got much better at budgeting, much better at forecasting, knowing when I needed to focus more time on the company. And I also hired a business coach who I absolutely adore and really has helped me do a better job of delegating work. So not everything's on my shoulder, giving my team more responsibility, holding them to a higher level and making sure that we're measuring everything. Going without those outside resources mm-hmm. really helped and sped up the amount of time it would have taken me by myself to fix things.
Wow. So actually, as you said before, like you refuse to fail. So you're someone that keeps going, a hard worker and a hustler. But do you think that sometimes it could be a disadvantage?
I absolutely think so. I mean, there were two words in there. You said hustler, and what was the other one? Hard worker?
Yes.
So obviously, I think it's important to be a hard worker. I mean, I know there's always those stories about the people who hit it rich without doing anything, but those are, you know, that's like the story of the shark attack. It's a story because it rarely happens, if ever. In fact, often when you look at those stories a little more closely, you realize there's some exaggeration going on or it's not exactly the way the people remembered it. I would say that, you know, the downside of being a hard worker, there's no downside of being a hard worker, mm-hmm. but sometimes when we do it to a fault, we don't look up. And it's very important to look up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's all these sayings about, you know, different types of people or, you know, I forget if it was Abe Lincoln or George Washington who said, if you gave me 8 hours to cut down a tree, I'd spend the first six sharpening my axe. You know,
yeah.
When we're a hard worker, when we're just like, if I work hard enough, it'll work out. That's not true. Because if you're chopping down the wrong tree, that's going to be a problem. You know, so you have to look up and make sure that if you're an entrepreneur, you have to have the vision. Mm-hmm. I would rather have the vision and hire people who are hard workers than try and succeed solely on my own hard work.
Yeah.
So that can be a problem. And the other thing is a hustler. The bottom line is I love people who hustle. I love people who are, you know, looking for it. But if that becomes your main thing and all you are is a shark, you start to burn bridges.
Yeah.
And you start to burn trust. And I know people who I respect their work ethic, and I know that they're in it to help other people as well, but it comes off. is all they're trying to do is hustle you. And hustle definitely has both positive and negative connotations. Mm-hmm. And if you focus too much on hustling, I think sometimes you can turn people off where they always feel that you're looking at them like a potential customer or client rather than a friend or partner. So anything taken to extreme is going to become a weakness.
Yes. So after all that you shared with us, Rich, tell us, did you have a moment where you simply wanted to give it all up?
There has been a time. There was a moment right around the time, maybe a little bit before, when I had these financial problems. You know, as things were, I was struggling to get the sales up and I felt like we had nothing in the pipeline. And a company came to me and they made me an offer on my company. They basically said, we're interested in your company. It was mostly they were interested in having me go out and promote their products for them, and they would buy my entire agency. And they're like, you know, you won't have to worry about, you know, any of the stuff about running a business. You can just go off and do what you want to do, create content, be a spokesperson, all that, you know, go speak. And at the time, it was felt like such a relief. And I would be able to stop being the guy who's responsible for everything. Mm-hmm. And a mentor of mine at the time, Michael Stelzner of Social Media Examiner, was talking with me on this, and he basically said, you sound really tired. And I'm like, I'm exhausted. And he said, well, do you really think that this is the best time to be making that kind of decision? You know, when you go to the supermarket, is it a good idea to go hungry or after you've eaten? And it's always a better idea to go after you're eating, so you're not, you know, buying every single thing. And it was the same thing. And it made me realize at that time, I was tired, and that was in no time the time for me to be making that kind of decision. So what I decided is that I was going to take a couple months. I wanted to fix things up in my own company and then decide what I wanted to do. I also talked to a few different people who had sold their businesses to bigger companies and asked them what it was like. And the overall experience that I got from these several people I spoke with is they wish they had never done it. In fact, one woman in particular said something to me that I loved. It was something along the lines of, only sell your company if you would rather, you know, if you love the company you're selling to. You know, that would be the only exception. Mm-hmm. And I chose not to sell. I chose to fix things up myself. Plus, I thought I'd be in a better position. And at the end of the day, I realized that I thought I was running my business better than they ever could. And I wasn't really thrilled with their business plan, and a few other things went wrong too. So as it turned out, it was a great decision to not make a decision when I was in a dark spot.
Wow. And that's great advice, actually.
Yeah. So, never go to the supermarket when you're hungry. That's the takeaway there.
So as an entrepreneur, in the challenges, we have to manage our time, right? And sometimes we look for time. We don't have enough time. So how would you say that you manage your time? And what's your secret for optimizing your productivity?
So I can tell you what I should be doing versus sometimes what I am doing. I work too hard. I work too many hours. There's no ways about it. Two ways about it. I happen to love what I do 9 out of 10 days. So that's fine for me. I don't mind doing the extra work and that sort of stuff. But I am trying really hard to not, you know, work 24/7 and to spend more quality time with my kids and my wife when I'm working. So some of the things I've been getting better at, and this is in part and helped with my coach, is delegating more of the stuff during my workday. And one of the first days I had the coach, or one of the second session I think it was, she'd give me the assignment of writing down every single thing I did during the day. And then during that second session, we went through it, and I had to defend every action I took. And there were some that I just couldn't defend. Or I for example, one was I did some copywriting for a sales page, for a squeeze page for a client. And she said, why did you do it? And I said, because no one else could. And as soon as the words were out of my mouth, I realized, first of all, that wasn't true. But maybe in a crunch time, I was the best person to do it. But really what I needed to do is I needed to, when I was selling these paid search packages, is build in time to hire a copywriter, or to at least assign resources for a copywriter, for a designer, for photography, for all these sorts of things. And then I wouldn't be stuck doing it. Mm-hmm. And that was really very helpful for me. So I'm trying to get better at things like that. Delegation is really probably the number one skill I'm working on this year.
And who would you say has influenced you the most in becoming who you are today, especially to go through your challenges?
There's a lot. I mean, it takes a village to raise Rich Brooks, I would say. There's not one person. I mean, there's definitely been people who have been very influential. Like I mentioned, Mike Stelzner, Jamie Tardy, the eventual millionaire, is my business coach, and she's been fantastic. And I've worked with other entrepreneurs and talked to local people as well here in Maine. I would say in some ways, it's my dad. My dad is started off as a child psychologist, worked at McLean Hospital, very non-entrepreneurial type of job. But just by chance, the local ABC station down in Needham, Mass., Channel 5, asked McLean Hospital if they had a psychologist who could come in and speak on a certain subject. And they said, well, Dr. Robert Brooks lives right down the road from you. I'd recommend him. My dad goes in, they love him, and suddenly he's on like every other week on this morning talk show. Then he starts doing presentations on subjects, mostly to schools, and then all of a sudden people are asking him to come and, hey, would you give the same presentation, but would you change out teacher for manager and student for employee? So then he starts doing the same presentations around for business organizations, and all of a sudden he's writing books and he's doing presentations, and he ultimately leaves McLean Hospital because he's become this entrepreneur where he's sharing these ideas. Now for him, it's a lot of ideas around raising resilient children. Where for me, it's more about, you know, how do you build a website that's going to help build your business? But in many ways, we're both on TV. We both generate business through presentations. I've yet to write a book. That's, you know, on my very small bucket list. But, you know, so he probably has influenced me the most in terms of making who I am, including all the things that any father can and should be doing for his children as he's raising them and teaching them how to live a happy and healthy life.
So do you think you were born to be an entrepreneur?
No. It's funny. When I was in, I don't know that anybody's born to be an entrepreneur. I would say actually, and this maybe folds into who influenced me. So one day as I'm working with my boss and we're in the car together driving to some account, he tells me, says, Rich, you have to work for yourself. You can't work for anybody else, which I thought was interesting because, of course, at the time I was his employee, but this is the advice he's given me. And I ultimately took him up on it, and I started my own business on the side. I don't know if that's true for everybody, though. I think some people prefer to work 9 to 5 or whatever the hours are, mm-hmm. and then be able to leave and forget about it. And then come back the next day. I'm not like that. I can't shut off my brain at night about work. I'm thinking about work too much, but the bottom line is I like what I'm doing. So maybe in some ways I do have some entrepreneurial genes in me, and maybe there are people like that, and some people would rather just like the work is the work and I'm going to do it for a third of my waking hour or a third of my day and that's it, where other people were like, I want to use my business as my creative output. And that's really how I look at it, which is why sometimes I don't mind putting in extra hours or writing an extra blog post or creating an extra video, because for me, this is my creative outlet.
So what about marketing, Rich? Like, when did you realize that marketing was important for your business growth?
I think it was just kind of a reaction to everything that I was doing. Right off the bat, when I started my company, I had a lot more time than money. And so I started a print newsletter back then, because email newsletters weren't really a thing, to kind of educate my client base and talk to them about certain things. And then so I could show them how to do things. And that piece really helped show people that I knew what I was doing. Even though I was giving away my quote-unquote best secrets, I remember writing articles about search engine optimization back in 1997. And of course, at that time, anybody could do the stuff I was sharing with people. What it did is it established what I was doing. So marketing just became was outreach. I don't think I was thinking of it as marketing at that point. I just wanted to educate people because I figured people who understood it would be willing to pay more for my products and services. And then I just started to see success with it. You know, we did a couple things. Our search engine visibility went up. We got more traffic to the website, you know, and just so on and so forth. As we started to add some of these things, I saw that they worked, or I saw that they didn't work. And when they did work, I would share that with my clients and I'd say, hey, look, here's something I tried with blogging that worked for me, or here's something I tried with email marketing that worked for me, and I think it might work for you too.
So are there things that you still struggle with concerning marketing?
Oh, sure. The bottom line is it changes all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's one of the things, it's just the amount of time it takes, because right now everybody's on Facebook, you know, and now Facebook reaches down so much. And now it seems like everybody's got a blog and everybody's on Twitter. So everybody's doing all the same things. Yes. So it becomes difficult for your message to stand out. And that's been one of the things that's most challenging is how do we create content that is insanely valuable so we can stand out when on some level I'm competing with HubSpot and I respect the hell out of what HubSpot's doing. But they're a giant monster of a company right now. They can have hundreds of people cranking out high quality content. So how can I compete against that? And the only thing I can do is really work on providing the best quality content, which of course then becomes marketing, for our client base. But it is a challenge, and it's a challenge to stay in front of people, and it's a challenge to create content that they can't find in a million other places.
So could you share with us what are a couple of your favorite marketing strategies to promote your business and help you crush your competitors?
And I know that's the name of your show. I usually am not looking to crush my competitors because I feel that all boats rise with the tide, as they say. But the bottom line is I am looking occasionally, although I have a friendly competition with most of the other web designers and internet marketers in town. I do enjoy taking business from them, as I'm sure they enjoy taking business from me in a sort of friendly rivalry in most cases. So for me, everything's about building my list. And this is what I tell 90% of my clients, because for almost all small to medium-sized businesses and small profits, your number one asset is that list, a high-quality list, and generally these days it's email. So whatever I'm doing, whether it's on Twitter or blog post, Facebook, YouTube, whatever it is, I'm thinking, how do I bring people to my website and how do I get them to give me my email their email address? Because very often what I want to do is I just want to wow them. And as active as I am on Twitter, and I'm on there all the time, and as active as I am on Facebook, and I'm usually putting up 2 to 3 posts a day personally, and I'm also active on other platforms as well. The bottom line is that email motivates people the most. So you've got to get them to give you permission to email to them, and then you've got to continue to create great content that gets them to buy from you. So for me, our big sales are doing web design and internet marketing. So I continue to talk about all those sorts of things. I try and provide value with every single email and then get them to come to the website and start a relationship with us.
So is there a business book that has influenced you really a lot? Like which one has influenced you the most and why?
Interesting that you would phrase the question that way, because the book that has influenced me the most is called Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion. By Dr. Robert Cialdini, I believe is how he pronounces his name, talking about the 6 weapons of influence and basically how marketers and other people have used them against us for years. And I think he originally wrote this book to help protect us, but it became like a marketing go-to book. And it's fascinating studies and research stuff that he did, other research that he talks about why we behave the way we do and why we are unduly persuaded by outside forces, and both how to protect ourselves from it and to a certain degree how to use that to persuade people to buy from us.
So let's get a little bit more inspiration from you, Rich. So what is, from your point of view, the key to financial success?
Setting goals. The bottom line is, if you are, again, this comes down to, are you lifting your head up to look around? Yeah. If you know that, okay, what I really want is I want to be able to pay all my bills, have money for retirement, pay for my college, kids' college, and have a lake house, then you just need to figure out exactly what that looks like and get there. And so when you've gotten there, you can not necessarily take your foot off the gas, but you know that you've made it. You can relax. You can start to live your life the way you want to. Yeah. I think knowing what that financial success looks like for you, what makes you happy, is the secret.
So what's the best spiritual advice you've ever received?
You know, I don't know that I have a piece of spiritual advice that I've necessarily received that's really changed my life. I mean, I like to think of myself as quasi-religious, and I know religious and spiritual are two different things. I'm afraid you're going to have to look elsewhere for your best spiritual advice.
Okay. So how do you gain control of your emotions? Because we all know as entrepreneurs, we go through a lot of emotions.
Yes. And emotions, I definitely am an emotional guy. I am quick to cry and all those sorts of things, that not usually publicly, but you know, I do get emotional. For me, one of the most important things so I don't fly off the handle is kind of taking a deep breath, trying to take a step back. But the most important thing is seeing it through the other person's point of view. And I think that's critical because we think we've got this worldview and we know everything. But the bottom line is that other person's coming to us with a completely different life experience, with a completely different, you know, maybe set of expectations. And maybe they don't know our business the way that we do and vice versa. And so what I try and do is I ask them, what's going on? What's happening? I'm not understanding why we're having this disconnect. They tell me, and then I ask for a little bit of time to kind of figure it out. Those are like some of the places where I could get most emotional, get most angry, and I find that when I take it from the other person's point of view, that really helps me kind of calm down and look for a solution.
That's great, great advice. And what is a good habit that helps you physically?
Going to the gym. I mean, that does make a big difference for me. It's always like, oh my God, I don't have time to go to the gym today. I need to get in early and prepare for this podcast, write that proposal, get my conference information correct. But the bottom line is if I can get to the gym for an hour and work out, lift, get a good sweat going, it just clarifies my thinking so much. And there's been all these studies that have been done that show like if you want kids to perform better in school, the number one thing you can do is make sure they go to gym. Because when there's physical activity, the brain is stimulated, you do better. The number one thing you can probably do for your mental success is, and you don't have to go to the gym if you don't like lifting weights, and I'm not the biggest weightlifter, but, you know, then don't, but find something else to do. Maybe you need to go for a 45-minute walk every day before work or during lunch or whatever it may be. Pick up basketball, pick up squash, go do something, get physically active. That's going to have such an impact on your success. It's unbelievable. It also helps form good habits.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, actually, discipline can come from like doing sports or especially like team sports.
Absolutely.
It's like a small society. So you learn to live with your teammates and to accept all of them and still play with them and reach the same goal. You want to win the game.
Absolutely. I think that's sound advice.
So to wrap it up here, Rich, is there something else you want to share with the All-Star team, like your words of wisdom or a success quote?
Words of wisdom or a success quote. Luck favors the prepared, which has been used in the movie The Incredibles. It was originally, I think, from Louis Pasteur. But the bottom line is, I love that quote, luck favors the prepared, because so often we see people in the news or on social media who seem like they're so lucky, but most often it's because they worked really, really hard and focused to get what they wanted, and then luck magically appeared. So I think it's important. Like, we get ourselves into position to be lucky by putting in all the preparation time.
Rich, that's so true. And thank you for that great quote. I love it. So if people want to connect with you, where can they go, Rich?
Well, if they want to connect with me and just chat, the easiest place to find me is on Twitter. I am The Rich Brooks, all one word, on Twitter and just about every other platform too. If they are interested in going to the conference or watching it live or watching it on demand after the conference is over, then I'd say go on over to agentsconference.com, check it out, see the agenda, and hopefully you'll join us in Maine.
All right. Thank you so much, Rich, for such a great interview.
My pleasure. Thanks for your time today.
All right.
Just because this episode of the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast is over doesn't mean your journey to marketing success is done. Go to marketingtocrushyourcompetitors.com/tools right now and download our free guide to the 5 tools you absolutely must have to crush it in your marketing. Download that right away, and we'll see you next time on the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast.